Amazing bike. It was a Huffy. Hey, it was amazing to me, okay? And it was this awesome bike. It was gold, and it had black pads on it. You know, it was a BMX style. And it had black lettering on it, Huffy, you know, real big on the gold piping. And I remember pretending that it was my motorcycle, you know, as I hopped curbs, as I took turns too fast and rode around in the neighborhood as often as I could. But there was one thing lacking for it. I didn't have a lock for it. My parents never thought to get me a lock. And so one day I went out to ride my beloved bike, to grab it from the back porch where it always was, and it wasn't there. I couldn't believe it. Apparently someone had stolen my beloved Huffy. And I was beyond sad. It was a gift that my parents had given me, surprised me with, before they ended up getting divorced. It was right before it was second grade. And so you can imagine, I wanted it back more than anything, but it was gone. And even though at the time, being in fourth grade, I don't think I had ever heard of the ancient law code of Hammurabi at that point, but I would have been happy to invoke its principles on the thief, you know. There were 282 laws in this law code, one of the first recorded law codes, and it was in the Babylonian Empire. And basically, it all boils down to an eye for an eye. It invoked an equal reciprocity for an unlawful act. Now, as I've learned, it says that a thief should be put to death. But I would have been happy if we would have just taken, like, something from the thief as well, you know, like a bike or whatever, you know, an eye for an eye as far as that's concerned, a thief's reward. And as I thought about this, if you would have told me about what Jesus said here in this second half of his message here to his disciples, and what he said throughout his ministry too, if you would have told me that right then, I definitely would not have wanted to hear it. I wouldn't have even listened at the time. I mean, just look at the second half of today's gospel passage, beginning in verse 27, where he tells his disciples, his followers, he says, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you." And so, no, I wouldn't have heard that. I would have said there had to be pain for this. I would have felt that at the time. And if I'm honest, part of me still wants that, right? I still want that bike back, just for the principle of the thing. You still want that for some other things too, maybe not just for a bike, but what about the other injustices that we see and experience? But I realize in this that I need to pray. We always need to pray about everything that would cause us to want to take revenge for ourselves or to treat others poorly. Those same others who are created in the same image of God as you and I are created in. The simple reality is this: Jesus calls us to a different life. He tells us plainly to love our enemies. This otherworldly love, it doesn't really come natural to a human being in a fallen state of sin. This kind of love, though, is a hallmark of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is this upside-down kingdom. We forget about that, where the last will be first, where wealth and prestige can be a hindrance to our walks with God, where the poor are blessed, where the hungry are fed, where the least of these, according to the kingdom of the world anyway, in the kingdom of God, the least of these, they're going to be taken care of. And so, yes, we need to pray now and always. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 reads, where Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so lest we forget, we need to pray without ceasing. This is the only way that we're ever going to be able to do what Christ tells us to do here, to love our enemies. This is the only way where we can forgive the one who steals our bike or hurts our feelings or takes that which is most precious to us. Whether it's our bike, our home, our church, or our loved ones, we need to pray without ceasing so that the power to forgive, to love both friend and enemy, that we would know that it doesn't come from us, because how really could it? But that we know it comes from Christ in us. But we need to put our hope in Christ, friends. Our hope should always be in Christ. It's only because of Him and His love, witnessed in His death on the cross, taking our sins on Him, dying for our sake, and being raised that we can have any hope at all. His resurrection from the dead is a witness to this hope that we are to have in Him, and the hope that the kingdom would be righteous, that the last would be first, that the hungry would be fed, that the naked would be clothed, and that there could be a love for an enemy. Now you may say, that's not possible. I hear you. I hear my own thoughts. That's how I hear you. I could never pray for my enemy, whether it be ISIS, my neighbor, the Democrat, the Republican, that person sitting down the pew from me. I hear you because I hear myself. But let me be clear, as Jesus was clear here. Stop listening to yourself. Listen to Jesus. When the disciples asked them in Matthew chapter 19, of course, this is the story of the rich man. And the rich man comes, and many of us know the story, but it comes to a climax when Jesus is telling them that the rich, you know, it's hard for the rich to be saved. It's easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle than to be saved, for the rich person to be saved. And then the disciples are disheartened, and they ask Jesus, they say, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus said to them in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, He says, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And so I say to all of us, myself included, stop trying to do it yourself. It isn't going to work. I can't forgive the person who's told my bike on my own. I can't forgive the people in my life who have hurt me to the core of my being on my own. I can't forgive ISIS for killing 238 people the other day in Mosul. And neither can you. It isn't humanly possible. But don't forget, with God, all things are possible. That's the kingdom, you see. And with our King, Christ, all things are possible. Trust that. Hear that. There's no revenge, not by us anyway. There's no eye for an eye. There can't be with the perfect judge. No, he's going to take care of all things. That's His promise. His promises are fulfilled. He's going to put everything to right one day. But for now, as Jesus said, pray. Pray that you might have the grace to love your enemy, to do good to those who hate you, to bless those who curse you, and to pray for those who abuse you. We never found that person who stole my bike. But here's the really cool thing, and I only thought about this way when I was looking at it. You know, a year or two later, my uncle had heard, I think it was actually that year, my uncle had heard that my bike got stolen. And he didn't give me anything for my birthday often. But when he heard about this, he wanted to get me a bike for my birthday. And so he picked me up where I was without a bike, and he took me to the store, and he had me try out the different bikes to see which one would work for me. And sure enough, he bought me a new bike for my birthday. He even got me a lock, too. He set things right. He didn't have to, but he did. Like a good father, like a good uncle. That's God, too. God does that for us. God will do that for us. Because that's love. And so I say, let's love one another. God says, let's love one another. Let's trust and hear Christ's words. And stop focusing so much on what we think. And trust in Christ's love for us. So that we might love others, even our enemies. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for your being with us, Lord. We thank you for our ability not to have to lean on you, really, because we can't do it ourselves. We thank you that you are there to be leaned on, that we need not seek you because you are continually seeking us and with us. And so, God, let today, even if for 1 minute, even if for 1 hour, even if for 1 day, let us love those who in our minds are unlovable. Let us be like the saints who have come before us, who are perfected in you. Let us see that glimpse of the kingdom in our own lives, in our own world today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.